Well, good morning, and glad that you are here and looking forward to worshiping with you this morning. If you're online, thank you so much for joining us and being a part of our worship this morning. Pray that the Lord blesses you. Excited about just continuing to worship the Lord as we continue our focus on Christmas. And so just a couple of things I want to mention to you. We had a pretty robust schedule and plan for Christmas caroling this evening, and unfortunately, I think the weather is going to prohibit that this evening. But so what we plan to do, there will be no activities this evening, but we would like to try to get some of that done tomorrow evening. I know some of you work, we're going to begin at 5, so if you're able and your work or your schedule allows you to be here at 5 o'clock, we're going to take teams out. You may say, I can't be here at 5, but I could be here at 5:30 or 6. That's fine. Just give us a, let us know, and we'll coordinate, let you join a team wherever they may be. We are trying to do our best to get to all of our shut-ins, our elderly, and we want to do the best we can to do that. And we have several of those that we need to get to. I think about 26 or so stops that we're trying to get to them and be able to just try to be a blessing to them during the season. So I know that Sunday afternoon's probably easier than others, but it's going to be pretty wet and nasty, I think, this evening. So tomorrow evening, 5 o'clock, and we'll plan for a couple of hours, about 2 hours, and try to get and be a blessing to as many as we can. And then also next Sunday evening, we will also do the same. Lord willing, the weather will cooperate. We will do that. We do have our regular monthly business meeting, our family business meeting, next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Hopefully you'll make plans to be here with us. And then following that, we will attempt to go out and spend a little bit of time going around caroling to some of our shut-ins. So depending on how tomorrow goes, we could do some of that Wednesday night as well, but we'll keep you informed on that. Love for you to be able to go out with us, okay? So just let us know if you can, if you're going to be able to go, and that way we can set teams up and we can make phone calls and get all of that planned and coordinated to be a blessing to some of our elderly and our shut-ins. So make plans to be with us, all right? Just excited about what the Lord has in store for us. We will be taking up our Lighting Moon Christmas offering along with our regular tithes and offerings at the end of our service, and I'll make a few more comments about that. Thank you for the way that you've already given toward that, and we look forward to how God uses that and blesses that this morning. So I want to take and open us up with a word of prayer, and then we are going to worship the Lord Jesus together this morning. God, you are gracious and kind and merciful. We thank you for how you love and care for us. We thank you for all that you are and all that you do in our lives. Thank you for the joy and privilege to gather together this morning. I pray that you would be honored, that we would serve you well and worship you this morning. God, just be with us. I pray your spirit would fall on this place and minister to people as they watch from home. And just thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Would you stand as we sing, Angels We Have Heard on High?
wing your flight o'er all the earth. He who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Shepherds in the fields abiding, watching for your flocks by night. God with man is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Sages, leave your contemplations, brighter visions beam afar. Seek the great desire of nations, we have seen the infant star. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King. Saints before the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Amen. This morning we want to allow Miss Sherry Pausgrove to share with us a song called Christmas Offering. Sherry has done such a great job as an accompanist for us, and she loves to sing, and so we want to give her an opportunity this morning to share this wonderful song about worshiping our Lord as we look at this time of the Christmas season. And one of the things, yes, we receive presence, we give, but one of the things that we want to do, as we just sang, is worship Christ, the newborn King. So please listen and join in. The words will be on the screen as Sherry shares this song with us.
Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child.
amen. Well, I want to invite you to turn your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin in verse 8. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And I'm excited this morning. We have been focusing a lot on prophecy and focusing a lot on Jesus is coming, and He is coming, and He is coming. And so now this morning, we've actually skipped the birth narrative and the text that tells us that Jesus has come primarily. There are obviously a few different passages of that, but we've skipped on ahead. But don't worry, next week we'll settle in and we'll talk about the coming of Christ through this miraculous conception. And so this morning I want to focus our time on Luke chapter 2, 8 through 20. I do want to give you a couple of things. I knew a moment ago I was standing here, I didn't jot down all the things I was supposed to tell you about or whatever the case is, so I knew I'd forget. But one of those I need to mention to you is that beginning next Sunday, we will be Sunday morning only, okay? And meaning Sunday morning worship, so no Sunday school. And we will have business meeting next Sunday night and potentially some caroling, but as far as Wednesday activities, Sunday school, all that sort of thing, we're going to hold off on those for a few weeks, and just in an effort to try to be proactive, if you will, and holiday season, all that kind of thing. And so we look forward to that second Sunday of the new year on the 10th, I believe, is when we'll kind of pick back up and resume all of our normal schedule activities as we've been going about them during this COVID season. So just need to make you aware of that, okay? So Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8, if you found your place, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? The Bible says there in verse 8, "Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was an angel, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known this saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we thank you for your word. I pray, God, you give us absolute clarity and focus as we turn our attention toward you and the Holy Scriptures. I pray, God, that you would use them to speak to our heart. I pray, Spirit of God, you would draw us to yourself. I pray, God, that even in this time, myself and us as we've gathered together here in person or online, God, that this would be, even this time would be a time of offering, of giving our best to you. And God, speak to us in and through your word. I pray you fill me with your spirit. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And so this morning, I want to focus on the actions of Jesus, the actions caused by the coming of Jesus. And we've focused on this. Again, we covered much of the Old Testament in terms of prophecies as it relates to Christ and His coming. Then we turned our attention to Isaiah 7:14, and that virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. And we looked at the fulfillment of that and that anticipation and the application. And then last week we looked at the announcement, this announcement to Mary and then Joseph as well, but particularly Mary's response and how she responded unto the Lord. And the text challenged us just in our obedience and our response. And so this week we're looking at the actions caused by this announcement, this different announcement than what we looked at last week, to the shepherds. And we're going to look at the shepherds, but let me just remind you, or maybe let you know, you may not realize this, but during this day and time, in this period, if anybody were outcast, if anybody were of the lower tier, it was shepherds. They were not considered high influential people. Just a nasty job, a difficult job, a hard job that people just kind of distance themselves from, we're not blessed by all the sanitary means that you and I are blessed with, so they smelled and all that kind of thing. But it was hard work. But so as we read this story and we see this announcement from the angel given to the shepherds, undoubtedly it would have been a shock or a surprise, because this was the down and outers. These were the outcasts. These were the people that really weren't fit for anything else, so they're doing this. And so it really is a surprise. I know it's hard for us because we grow up looking at a picture of nativity scene or singing songs and shepherds is kind of a glorious sort of thing as we think about it. But in Jesus' day and time, that wasn't the case at all. And so the angels make themselves available. They go to the shepherds, and the scripture tells us they're out, they're tending their flocks, and they're doing their job. And in the midst of that, in this late night hour, that the angels show up and God speaks through them and says, essentially, Jesus, the Messiah that you have been waiting for, has come. And it's as big a shock to them as it would have been to anybody else. And at first they kind of react, man, there was fear because, man, here's this vision, that this encounter that I'm having with a holy, angelic being. And then, man, as they hear that, then we're going to look. They respond in some different ways by what they hear and what they see. And so there are four different ways that these shepherds respond to this announcement. And so I just want to quickly this morning walk through and notice how they responded, and then challenge ourselves in how we ought to respond to the Lord Himself, okay? So, number one, they responded to the Lord. And I know this seems kind of a little bit vague, but I want you to see this in verse 15. So it was, when the angel had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." So I want you to notice particularly this last phrase, "which the Lord has made known to us," and the emphasis that is there placed on that. Yes, the angels, the one who showed up and delivered the news, but they were sent by God. They were sent by the Lord and to deliver this message to this specific group of people. And so this morning, as we think about this, I just want us to be challenged by this thought that sometimes God works and God moves, and it may even be this morning, or it may be in recent weeks as you've sat under the preaching of the Word of God, or you attend Sunday school, read your Bible, or whatever it is. Sometimes God shows up and He speaks. Listen, I'm not talking about audibly, and I don't know, but I don't know of anybody that an angel has showed up in your workplace and spoken any message to you of any sort. But you know what I'm talking about, that those of you that walk with the Lord, or those of you that had those encounters, it's that small, still voice, it's that prompting, it's that conviction, it's that work in your life. And here they are, they had this encounter, and they responded to the Lord. And dear friends, we can't overestimate this. We can't let this pass by. This is why we have a time of invitation at the end of our service. It's not just so that we can figure out a way to wrap things up. It's not a way that we can transition from one thing to the other. But it is a way in which we believe that if we gather together, we pray and ask God for His hand of blessing to be on our service and His Spirit to be here. And then we sing worship. We sing songs that worship Christ the King, worship God. And then we sit under, hopefully, Lord willing, the preaching of the Word of God, that God uses that. And He speaks to our heart and speaks to our life in all different ways, then we want a time for us to respond to that. And I realize sometimes that's hard because we've got the laundry list that's running and we've got the menu scheduled out and the crock pot has to be turned off at a certain time and all, you know, all that kind of thing. And life is busy. And especially, listen, for those of you that are worshiping online, you need to have that time of response. That's why we leave it on here. That's why we continue in our filming of that, is just so that we have a time that we carve out and that we need to respond to the Lord. And as you have your daily quiet time or whatever the case is, you need to have a time that you respond to what God works and God does in your life. It says, the Lord is made known to us. John 6:44, the Bible tells us, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I'll raise him up on the last day. Listen, for those of you that came to faith in Christ, those of you that got to the point that you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, you need to be reminded of this morning, is that it's the Spirit and work of God that drew you there. Everybody okay this morning? It's the Spirit and work of God that drew you to salvation. Okay? You didn't wake up one day and suddenly, boy, you know, December 13th on a rainy, cool day and comfortable, I'm just decided I'm going to get saved today or I'm going to pursue God. Man, it's the work of God that draws you. We need to be grateful for that. And here they are, these shepherds, outcasts. Nobody cares about them. And the first announcement outside of Mary and Joseph and throughout after the prophecy, the first announcement goes to the down and outers and the nobodies of the society. And boy, they are responding because they realize this is the work of God. John 15:5 says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. I want you to notice this last phrase, for without me you can do nothing. Listen, church family, there's nothing, no good work, nothing of eternal consequence that you and I can do, that we can do collectively even, that will matter one iota for the kingdom of God without the work of the Spirit of God. Because he says, without me, you can do nothing. Sure, you can do some things that maybe the society will go, man, that's a good thing. That's an admirable thing. It may even get you in a local community hall of fame, but apart from the work of God, there's nothing of any eternal consequence that'll happen apart from the Spirit of God. These shepherds didn't just wake up and go, you know what, I think we'll go find a baby and we'll worship him. All these sorts of things that we're going to look at and just do it and hope that it's the right one and things will work out for us and we'll become really famous. But rather, it's the work of God that came and announced this and they realized this is the what the Lord has made known to us. And so number one, they responded to the Lord. Number two, they responded by obedience. Now realize this feels a little bit nuanced. This feels really similar, but I want you to notice in the first one, it's the work of God that did that, and then it's their response to His work, okay? So notice verse 16. And they came with haste. If you mark or underline your Bible, mark that word, haste. And found Mary and Joseph and the babe, that is Jesus, lying in a manger. So, there they are, they're out, they're busy, they're working, and don't you think they had a schedule? Don't you think they had a plan, they had a purpose, thinking, man, I got to do this, and you know, just so on and so forth. I'm sure had a very rigorous schedule, very difficult, hard job. And an angel shows up, and it disrupts that. But here, their response says, and they came with haste. Friends, sometimes, and I probably most of the time, and maybe even all the time, God's not overly interested in our schedule and our timetable. God's not checking your calendar, your day planner, thinking, okay, when am I going to interrupt Chris's life where it's most convenient for him? But rather, God is sovereign and God is big, and He looks over the span of time and He realizes when His timing is right and it is good, and it may conflict with what you and I have on the calendar. And we need to be sensitive to the Lord and respond by obedience. I think 2020 has given us a great example of this. This whole pandemic showed up. Best I know, it wasn't on any of our calendars, wasn't in any of our plans. And if I can be really honest with you, and I've been guilty of this at times, we've allowed it to arrest us and handcuff us. And I realize there's a lot of opinions, not only in this room, but online and so on and so forth, about where it started and what it means and all that kind of thing. And I'm not at all trying to make statements about that. But what I am trying to say this morning is that I really believe the Spirit of God is working in and through us and continues, wants to use us in the midst of even a pandemic. And we've been arrested and we've been handcuffed and shackled in and haven't maybe been as sensitive to what God wants to do to through us and how God wants to teach us and how God wants to lead us. And we just keep having this excuse. But dear friend, don't you think the shepherds had a pretty good excuse? Man, I've got these livestock. They are my livelihood. I can't leave them. That was the point of the shepherd, right? Was to not leave them so that he could defend. But guess what? The angel of God showed up and said, look, there is the Messiah has come. And man, they looked around and says, God has done this. And they put everything down. They shut everything up and they took off. And they with haste responded to the Lord Jesus. And you better write this down. It's not original to me, but it's a good thought, is that delayed obedience is disobedience. You don't believe me? Do you remember back when you were a child? You had chores or responsibilities. In my house, we didn't call them chores. You just did it. Like it didn't have a fancy term. You just did it. But one of mine was to take out the trash. And if my stepdad said, hey, boy, you need to take out the trash today. Even if, or maybe even right now, if I waited, I didn't take it out on Tuesday. I waited till Wednesday. Guess what? Trash truck ran on Wednesday morning. I didn't get up early enough to get it out before the truck came. And guess what? It was as if, even if I took it out on Wednesday, I might as well not take it out at all. Right? That we see this with our kids, and sometimes God works and God prompts us, man, to take this step or take this act of obedience. And we have all kinds of excuses and all kinds of thoughts going, man, not today, maybe tomorrow. And dear friends, I want to challenge you and encourage you that delayed obedience is disobedience. We looked at this passage or this verse last week, Isaiah 6:8. Bible says, also I heard the voice, this is Isaiah saying, the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. He didn't say, hey God, you know what, about 2 years when I graduate or when I do this or when I do that, I'll go. Or God, whenever I get this in line or I get this happening or I hit retirement, whatever it is, I'll do that. No, Isaiah said, look, here I am, I'll go. The shepherds said, man, God is at work here. They made haste and went. Luke chapter 9, verse 59, we see this encounter with Jesus and some who are wanting to follow him. It says, then he said to another, follow me. That's what Jesus said. But he said, Lord, let me first and go and bury my father. By the way, many experts believe that his father was likely not dead. He just wanted to go and be with him till he did die. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to them, look, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Dear friends, I wonder, what is it in your life and in your heart that you know God has called you to? Be it fostering, be it adoption, be it preacher, missionary. Maybe it's to give 2 years after you graduate from college. Maybe it's to have a hard conversation during this season with a family member. And there's all kinds of things around this room likely could be happening or could be taking place. And I just wonder how many of us, God has prompted our heart, moved in our life, and we said, okay, God, when I get here, I get to this point or whatever it is, and we've pushed it off. And dear friend, we're living in disobedience. Some of you, God has maybe saved, and you say, God, I'll wait a little while till I get baptized. I follow in baptism. And listen, God has worked in our life, and He has called us, and we need to be obedient to that. And say, yes, Lord. So, they responded to the Lord. Number two, they responded by obedience. And number three, they responded through proclamation. Luke chapter 2 and verse 17. Now, when they had seen him, so they showed up. I want you to notice this. They made widely, Mark underlined that, made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. What is that? That this is peace. This is good news. This is the Messiah. So what happens? There they are minding their own business. The angel shows up, gives them the news. They are in fear at first. Then they are in awe because God has showed up to them. They make haste. They go. They find the child. There they are. And upon that encounter, their response is proclamation. They made widely known the saying that was told them. What is that? That this is the Messiah. This is the good news. This is the glad tidings. This is the great joy. This is what the nation had been waiting on. This is what the Jews had been waiting on for nearly 4,000 years, full of prophecy and hundreds of years of silence. And all of a sudden, God shows up and says, here's your Messiah. Here's the Savior. And they couldn't keep it quiet. They couldn't go about their business as usual. They had to tell somebody. They had to proclaim this good news. Friends, I'm fully convinced that our society, our culture wants to take Jesus and wants to take Christ out of Christmas. And it's not so much, I don't think it's as much of just maybe Him getting attention in terms of you and I worshiping Him, but it's because the enemy does not want more people to know. Doesn't want more people to be impacted by the saving work of Jesus Christ. But here are these shepherds. They stink. They're outcasts, they're nobodies, and by the way, can I just say, that's exactly who God loves to use. The down and outers, the nobodies. God loves to take what the world classifies as useless or not any good or not good enough and take and use them for His good and His glory. And dear friend, for most of you in this room, there was a day, a point in time in your life that the Spirit of God showed up, convict you of sin, unrighteousness, of judgment, that you repented and you placed your faith and trust in Christ. And God gloriously and radically saved you. Yet the statistics say that 90% of Christians will not share their faith, professing Christians will not share their faith with one single solitary person. their entire life. Some believe it's as high as 94%. Out of 46,000 Southern Baptist churches, I believe somewhere around 20, and a vast majority, I'll be careful not to throw a number of churches out there because I don't want to be way off, but a vast majority of churches will only baptize one person or less. Folks, it's no wonder our nation's in the state that it's in. And if I can be really blunt with you, it has far less to do with who will ever take that Oval Office. And it has more to do with we need to put a circle and step ourselves in it as Christians and go, man, it's us. It's local churches. It's our responsibility. It's not the government's responsibility to tell people about Jesus. It is the responsibility of every born-again Christian and every New Testament local church. It is the mission. We are left with so many mission statements and purposes that Jesus, before He left, we have it in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came, spoke to them, saying, "All authority is given me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations." You know what it means? Win them to Jesus. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I command you. Lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the age. Mark 16, 15, he said to them, "Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 24, 47 and 48, "And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and you are witnesses of these things." Acts 1, 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea, Samaria, and in the uttermost parts of the earth." 2 Corinthians 5, 18, "Now all things are of God who reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation." And church family, right here in our neighborhood, in our city, in our community, people are crying and dying on their way to hell. And I realize we're in the middle of a pandemic. And I realize there's some restrictions and some limitations on maybe what we can do. But church, we better be really careful that we're not so handcuffed by what all we can see is what we can't do, that we're blinded and we can't see what we can do and how we can reach people. And I realize I have no idea. Vaccines and masks and all that kind of thing, not the slightest idea how that will impact us, and if masks go away and when masks go away and when we get back to normal, all this kind of thing. I just know this, is that there will be people in our community that die and go to hell today, and we can't wait until we get back to normal. That is delayed obedience. Now, I realize some of our approaches and some of our methods and some of those things may not look like they did in 1980, and that is okay. It is fine. We've got to go, man, this is 2020, nearly 2021, and in the middle of this, how are we going to reach people? How are we going to proclaim this good news? If God can use shepherds out in a field, then surely, with all the resources, all the technology, all the things that we have, surely we can make widely known that Jesus is Christ. They responded through proclamation. Let me just say, some of us maybe need to leave this place and go make a phone call and tell somebody about Christ. Number four, they responded by worship. They responded by worship. Look at verse 20. "Then the shepherds returned." Notice this. glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. I want you to take just a moment, and I realize this could be harder for some than others, but I want you to think through the years of your life and how many times has God been good, and God done the miraculous, and God done the unthinkable. God had protected you. God had sustained you. He has provided for you. He has met need after need after need after need. Here the shepherds are. They're outcasts. They're nobodies. And the angels show up and say, look, there's a child that is born. This is the Messiah. They go. They are in all their worship. And on their way home, they're going back and forth. And man, they're talking about it, saying, can you believe that the angels saw fit to come and tell us? Can you believe we got there and it was actually true? They'll never believe that it's been hundreds of years. God has been silent. And it's been hundreds of years and thousands. And we've been waiting on the Messiah, and God has shown up, and on their midst as they're walking, man, they're glorifying God. Thank you, Jesus. Man, they're celebrating, and I don't know, you may call me Pentecostal, but I think they may be shouting a little bit excited, because they are in a dry and thirsty land, and they've been hungry. But listen to me, church family, I wonder how many times do we come in and we stand in front of a pew and we cross our arms and we look at lyrics on a screen and go, yeah, man, that's good. And we're thinking about the cornbread we're going to eat. Or we're thinking about, is the turkey going to be dry? And we're thinking about the laundry list that we have to do. But listen, dear friend, do you remember what God has done for you? Do you remember that you were lost in your sins, but now you're alive? Do you remember, do you realize that you're going to have food on your table because God is good and gracious and kind? And I realize not everybody is going to jump up and down and shake hands. I realize that is not worship, but I want to tell you, dear friend, but I believe with all my heart, those that are most convinced of God's goodness and God's grace and God's work are more convinced to worship and glorify and praise God. And friend, we got to get past what style it is packaged in. There are incredibly rich, godly, great hymns of the faith that have been around a long time. And they are good. And I need to tell you, there's contemporary music that is being written that is good and godly and full of truth. And we need to sing and worship those or worship through that music. Listen, it's both and. We don't have to have one or the other. Listen, you can drive down the road and worship to the Gaithers and worship to all sorts of music. And that's not the only form of worship. And listen, I pray and I hope as we read the Scripture that your heart gets full and you worship God, go, man, thank you for a living Word that speaks to my heart today. I pray that as we depart, we leave this place, there will be men standing there with an offering plate, that we bring our offering saying, God, we are giving today as an act of worship. Some may do it online. As you give online, I realize there's a lot of thoughts and opinions about that, but as you give online, you need to give out of an obedience, out of a spirit of worship, going, God, man, I want to worship you with all that you give me. Everything that I have is yours. And I just wonder, as you give today, and I realize sometimes people give once a month or whatever it is, but as you give, I wonder if we had the opportunity to go and lay our gifts right at the feet of Jesus. Would it be an act of worship? Or do we do that because we think that's what we're supposed to do? We do that because we think we have to do it. We put things in an offering plate or do something so that people will see us. I want to encourage you, dear friend, whether it's giving so that people see you or think you're supposed to do it, whether it's raising your hand or whether it's raising your voice or however it is that you worship, we do it for any other reason because He is worthy, we miss out. Because you need to be clear and hear me clearly this morning, God doesn't need us. We desperately need Him. So as we have times where we stand and we sing together, even at the end of service, we have an opportunity to stand and worship the Lord. That's what it's about. And me personally, I could care what posture it comes in. So long as you and I as a church family are engaged in worship. Now, I think there is an orderly way and do things decent in order. I realize that. I hope that as you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, that it fills your heart and it's worship. I pray that as we depart, as we give, it's an act of worship. Luke goes on to tell us in verse 18 and 43, and immediately he received his sight, this blind man, and followed him, glorifying God. Look, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. He worshiped God in such a way that people realized he was blind, but now he sees. And it caused other people to worship him. Isn't that the way we want to live? We want to live in such a way that it causes people to recognize as God over all creation. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, and Father, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. For we are aliens and pilgrims before you, as were all of our fathers. Our days on earth are as shadows and without hope." Well, David is worshiping the Lord, giving praise to his God. So this morning, hope is to learn from the shepherds that they responded to the Lord. It was the work of God. Some of you this morning, in person, online, it may be the Spirit of God drawing you, working in your life. You know it's the work of God. I challenge you to respond by obedience. They made haste. They quickly responded unto the Lord. And then they responded by proclamation. They were bold in telling others what God had done. And listen, I realize you may not be able to share a 3 or 4 point outline in a full gospel presentation, but dear friend, you can tell people what God has done in your life. Amen. And then they simply worship God. As they went home, they conversed, talked about what God had just done and what they had got to see and what they had got to be a part of, and that somehow God looked down and saw the outcast shepherds and showed up and met with them. Man, hello somebody. And God showed up one day. It spoke to my heart, drew me to salvation. A redheaded stepchild from Ratcliffe, Arkansas. Hallelujah. So the question is, how are you going to respond to the Lord this morning? Some of you maybe need to trust Christ for salvation. Some of you, God has already stirred in your heart some ways, some things that you need to be obedient to. You just need to say, yes, Lord. You need to take that step. And that may be a step of commitment, going, man, I need Pastor Chris to know, or Pastor Jonathan, somebody to know in my church, help hold me accountable, walk me alongside me with this. Man, maybe you know, as soon as I get out of here, I got to make a phone call. I got to tell somebody. I got to call somebody and say, hey, you know, man, I forgive you. And there's all kinds of things that we may need to respond to this morning. And I want to encourage you, don't wait. Respond to the Lord today. Here in just a moment, I'm going to give those that need to be saved an opportunity to respond, an opportunity to pray and ask Christ into their life. And then I'll have a time of prayer, and then I'll say that you can come and pray. But here in a minute when I go to pray, you're welcome. This is what this is for, and I realize this is it's a little bit different for us, and because we think about these as steps and up and down, and I realize there's nothing necessarily extra special about kneeling front here other than it's stepping out, it's submitting our commitment, going, man, we're committed to this. And I realize some are not physically able to be here. Some of you are not. And I know some of you would long to be able to come and kneel at the front again. And God knows your heart, and God meets you right where you're at. So you may not feel comfortable being up here. That's fine. Pray right where you're at. But whatever, man, respond. Don't fast forward past this moment. This is our time of invitation, and those of you even at home, this is not a time of transition. It's not a time, let me gather things up and pack my purse up or pack my Bible up or whatever it is. This is a time to focus in, going, okay, I have heard from the living Word of God this morning. God, how is it you want me to respond? Not if, but how. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, I love and adore you. God, I'm as convinced as ever this morning, God, that you've had a word for us this morning, and you want obedience. You want us to respond to you. And so, God, I pray this morning for anyone who doesn't know you, God, would you save them? And if that's you this morning desiring salvation, you just pray. Pray right where you are. Beg God for His forgiveness, for His salvation. Pour your heart out to Him. You may pray something like this. Say, dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart. Wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. I give my life to you. Totally and freely, without reservation. Pray in Jesus' name. God, I pray that we'd respond to you, Lord. God, as you've spoke to us this morning, you've challenged us. I pray, God, that we would be obedient to you. Pray this in Jesus' name. That you remain in the attitude of prayer. You want to pray right where you're at, you're welcome to do that. If you'd like to come up front and kneel, you are welcome to do that. Allow this time to be a time that you respond to how God spoke to your heart this morning. Maybe you need to pray for your neighbor, pray for family. Maybe you need to ask God to forgive you for delayed obedience. While you continue praying, those of you that may have asked Jesus to save you, if you're online, let us know. Here in person, let me or Pastor Jonathan know. Say, I pray and ask God to save me after the service. We want to be an encouragement to you. Don't walk it alone. We want to be a blessing to you. God, I pray this morning that as we have another opportunity to worship you through singing, God, that we would do it out of an abundance and overflow of your goodness and grace toward us. And Lord, I pray that, God, you be glorified in how we love and serve you. Thank you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe seated. I think one of our deacons, Steve Overton, may have a quick announcement he wanted to mention, and then after his announcement, I'll come back and give us a couple closing thoughts and pray for us. So, all right. Well, thank you, Brother Steve, and thank you for your generosity, church family, the way that you always love and support us. The only reason I'll repeat this is because just we didn't get Steve a microphone, so I know those online were not able to hear. He just mentioned If you would like to give to support just a Christmas offering, love offering to our staff, you can see one of our deacons. So anyway, thank you so much. Thank you for being here. We're grateful. If you're a guest, we'd love to get to know you. There's a card in the pew back in front of you. You can fill that out. You can go online to sbcr.org/new and fill that form out, and we'd love to connect with you. We are taking up our Lottie Moon Christmas offering as well as our regular tithes and offerings this morning. Hopefully you've been praying about what the Lord would have you to give towards Lottie Moon, and as the Lord just gives you clarity and wisdom in that, you just be obedient to that. We're grateful for just however the Lord may lead you to give toward that, and that goes 100% to the mission field. And so it's one of my favorite offerings that our church does and takes part in. So you can also give your regular tithes and offerings. And just thankful for you again. No caroling, no services, no activities tonight. Tomorrow night, 5 o'clock for any who can be here. If you're a little late after that, that's fine. Just connect with myself or Jonathan or Brother Al Ray. We'll be taking some teams out and trying to connect with some of our elderly and shut-ins. And so just be aware of that, okay? So let us know if you plan to be a part so we can try to set all that up and get it scheduled, okay? And Sunday morning worship next week only, and then business meeting that night and caroling after, okay? All right, let me pray. God, you are gracious and kind. Thank you for this day, and thank you for the time. I pray, God, that you would hide us behind your cross, fill us with your Spirit, help us to give in such a way that worships you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that we would be careful to tell others about you and honor you in all that we say and do. Go before us and behind us. Help us to be a witness for you this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.